chief executive officer at Sea Lord, and a deal's been reached by the fishing company to acquire Independent Fisheries, which could make it the largest seafood producer in this country. That's if the Commerce Commission and the Overseas Investment Office approve the sale. Doug Paulin joins us for another kōrero. Hey, Doug, kia ora anō.
Morena, Dale.
Good to catch up with you again. So not just doing the fishing, but thinking forward about growth. Tell us about the arrangement or what you hope to secure here by taking over Independent Fisheries. What do they do and how will it enhance what you're doing?
So Independent Fisheries is the fourth largest deep water fishing company in New Zealand. And if you think about deep water fishing, it's a quota-based business and really difficult to grow in any scale because most of that quota is held by long-term owners. So these sort of opportunities come along very infrequently, and this will be the biggest deal since the Sea Lord transaction back in the very early 2000s. So, you know, we're really excited to bring that business into the group. They're a very simple business, so they run three large fishing trawlers, and pretty much they catch 92% of the quota they own, so they're one of the most efficient deep sea fishing companies in New Zealand, and then they bring it on to their cold store, and then they pretty much sell it all into the export market. So it's a good complement to what we do, where we've got land-based manufacturing and a much more complex business. So look, an exciting opportunity for Māori and for Sea Lord.
Why does the Commerce Commission and the Overseas Investment Office need to approve the sale?
Yeah, so the actual quantity that's involved in the transaction is over 100 million, and because we are 50% owned by an overseas company in Nasui Corporation, it has to go through the Overseas Investment Office, but we don't believe that'll be a major hurdle for us. And, of course, the Commerce Commission are involved just because of the scale that Sea Lord will end up at the end of the transaction in terms of the amount of quota that we'll own. We don't believe we'll be a dominant player at the end of that. There's still significant other major players. And really, for the other purchasers, nothing too much would change if it wasn't Sea Lord. So we're also pretty confident that the Commerce Commission will give us their consent. But at the end of the day, you've got to go through the process.
The percentage of Sea Lord's work, if you're successful in acquiring Independent Fisheries, their three trawlers and their offshore large deepwater quota, what will that mean as far as the balance of income streams for Sea Lord, i.e. What would deepwater species contribute and inshore species? What would be the percentage makeup if this goes through?
Well, I think for us, like, we are primarily a deep water fishing company anyway. So 97% of the quota we own is in the deep water. We're a very small inshore quota owner, and most of that we ace to either Moana or our joint venture partner, Westfleet. Moana holds all of the inshore quota for Māori in reality, and they obviously manage that very well. And you know, pleasingly, they've recently reached an arrangement with Sanford to fish their North Island inshore quota, which will be, you know, that is significant for Māori as well. So, you know, adding up this transaction with the Moana-Sanford transaction, it really does put Māori in, you know, the best position to be able to have very good conversations with the government when it comes to fisheries and fisheries management. And when you think about our relationship with the Moana, I think that can only be incredibly positive for the future.
So Sea Lords would have more control of ensuring sustainable fishing for the future?
Yes, that's right. And it enables us to be, the first party that the government really needs to sit down with when they're thinking about changes to either how fisheries are operated or indeed the regulations and the rules for how we go about fishing in New Zealand. Because at the moment there's been some suggestions for things which, you know, on the face of it seem to be a good idea for sustainability, but when you get into the data and the facts, it just doesn't stack up. And when you think you've still got to feed the world, and deep sea and inshore fishing is a very efficient and one of the lightest touch environmental protein production methods in the world, it seems crazy that you've got some people talking about stopping it.
Doug, often when big organisations play big poker and invest in this, if I can use that term, it can take a while to realise the benefits. So you can take a dip in income because you've spent, in this case, $100 million. How long might it take to get back into profitability?
Well, it's many more million, over 100 to be fair, Dale. Whilst I can't talk about the specific number, it's well in excess of that. That's just a number where you've got to go to the official the Overseas Investment Office. But for us, the beauty of this business is they are very profitable, and they have a much lower range of variability because they're simpler than Sealord. So in a very good year, Sealord will make more money than independent fisheries, but in a bad year, the risk factors in terms of returns is much better than ours. So in a bad year, we would lose more than them. So they actually provide a very good mitigation to our profitability. And, you know, we'd like to start off positively, obviously, and deliver the number which we've talked about to our shareholders, which would be accretive to our profit and loss. So essentially, they bring a higher margin to our business, which is great. Those opportunities, as I say, don't come along very often.
Species come and go, numbers too. Whilst we are proud of our quota management system, the reality is that globally the resources are being at times hammered. When you look at this business move, what risks are involved as well? You can't play ball without some risk. Where are they?
Well, I think if you think about the changes that are occurring in regards to the environment across the world, in the long term, you know, there will be changes in terms of where fish species are able to populate waters across the world. So one of the things we're doing is working on long-term models of what we believe will happen in New Zealand waters. But at the end of the day, I think one of the most difficult things for the government will be working out how do they manage that in a quota-based system where species show up in areas where historically they haven't been. And I think that's something they're starting to think about now. We're catching kingfish down in the Southern Ocean, which is unheard of. So we don't hold quota for that species in that particular fishing management area. So, you know, the government now has to think about, well, what do they do? Do they allocate quota for that species in that area? How do they allocate it? Who would get it? So it is going to be, over the course of the next, you know, 5 to 10 years, I think there will be substantial change, and the key is to get ahead of it if you can.
While Sealord is owned by Nisui and also Māori Interests, half owned by Māori Interests, what does this ambitious, forward-thinking arrangement say, do you think, about Māori business and our penchant to grow it?
Well, I think it really underlines the fact that Māori are keen to invest in long-term intergenerational assets in New Zealand. Nisui are the same. They're keen to look at investment into things which can be held for long periods of time. So I think we get real alignment between both of our shareholders in regards to that. Both shareholders, of course, are interested in a return for holding those assets, which, you know, is only to be expected. But I think the good thing is that they'll always do what's right for the fisheries that they operate in. And I think that's the thing that I look at and say, well, that's the best thing that we can hope for, is we've got owners who aren't driven solely by the economics, are driven by doing what's right for the environment in which they operate, and that's great.
What physical infrastructure would need to be in place to accommodate this new arrangement? Obviously, we're talking three sophisticated, currently operating trawlers, berthing spots, factories, etc. How does it impact your physical infrastructure as an organisation?
Well, it's interesting because they're very simple. They just become a straight bolt-on. So we'll keep all their people, other than they've got three directors who are also related with the family that own independent fisheries. They'll leave the business. But other than that, everyone else who's involved in running the business will stay. It'll continue to be run out of Christchurch, where it currently is. Of course, we'll make sure that across our fleet, we allocate quota and catch plans where we're going to get the best result for the group. But other than that, they'll pretty much continue to operate as they have. And look, all I ask really is for them to keep delivering the numbers they've been delivering for the family over the long term.
That sounds like an interesting acquisition. One of many going forward. Are there some other considerations in this sort of forward-thinking area, Doug?
I'd like to think so, but you know, we'll have to pause with this one because you can never tell when these opportunities come up, and it's come up at a relatively difficult financial time for the group. You know, we get this deal done, we've really got to return the numbers that we've talked about to the board. But if we can do that, then I think it places us in a really good position to look at other acquisitions and other opportunities in the future, no doubt.
Tēnā koe. And just finally, when's this happening?
Oh, well, I'm hopeful before the end of the year, but you never know. These processes take as long as they take. I know the Moana process with the Commerce Commission took a lot longer than what they thought. We're a little bit simpler than that, so I'd like to think by the end of the year.
Tēnā koe. Always appreciate your thoughts and sharing some uplifting information about the business. We're proud of what we are doing in the fisheries sector, and that's enhanced too by this new manoeuvre. Doug Paulin's the Chief Executive Officer for Sea Lords and a regular kai kōrero on our program. Thanks, Doug. Good catching up with you again, mate.
Thanks, Dale.
Tēnā koe. Thank you. You are 603 Urban Māori Radio.